Hey, and welcome to the Full Weight of Joy podcast, the podcast for women who are done stressing about the weight of the world, of expectations, and settling for status quo, and ready to step into the full weight of joy. Joy in the journey, whether up or down, joy through the life's challenges, and joy in loving your life right where you are, even though sometimes we feel like chucking it all and moving to Bali. It's for women who are ready to step into who God called them to be. He chose you to be in this world. He created you for a specific purpose. God called us to be the light on a hill, and by embracing who you are and whose you are, you can stand on that hill and shine. The best part, when you're standing next to another woman who's also on the journey, the world gets brighter. My name is Tammy. I'm your host and a master certified life coach and a trained therapist. For over a decade, I've been helping women do just that. Step into who they're called to be and shine. Are you ready, friend, to start your journey? Let's do this. Hey, welcome back to the podcast. Today, we're wrapping up a series that I have really enjoyed. The unwrap the holiday season you really want. One of the things that I wanted to do with this series is, though it's in the context of the holidays, it's actually unwrap a life that you really want. And today kind of brings it all together, at least in my mind, hopefully in yours. And it's about embracing imperfections. It's about setting down. So many times we have this vision of what things are supposed to look like, whether it's the way our kids are supposed to act, the way they're supposed to grow up, the way the holiday's supposed to be, the way that, you know, our work is, the way we show up to whatever XYZ we're going to. We have these expectations that it needs to lead up to, that it needs to become. And part of that is because we want to put our best foot forward, right? We want people to think we have our life together, whether we do or not. We want people to know that we're capable. We want to be liked. We want to be loved. We want to be thought about. We need connection. And people connect with people they relate to. They connect with people they enjoy being around. And so a lot of times when we are trying to do something, it's because and it's the best intentions, the best outcome possible is what we want. But we put this idea that things have to be perfect. This is not a new topic. This is actually something, being an Enneagram 1 myself, I deal with a lot. And I realize that perfection's not even what my ultimate goal is. Everything can be better. I want to show up in as my best self. So what does that even mean? How do we do that? Well, in today's episode, that's kind of what I want to talk about a little bit, is embracing imperfections. We don't know what's going to happen in 10 minutes, let alone a day, 5 years, 10 years. We don't know what life brings. And yet we try to plan it and control it and mold it to fit so we understand. And well, when we do that, we just bring a lot of pressure on ourselves that's not necessary. So where do the ideas of perfection, where do they come from? And let me tell you right now, it's not your fault that you have them. They're actually a safety mechanism. I've talked about how your brain wants to keep you safe, not successful, right? And then it puts these blocks in. It puts these ideas in that's like, oh, if we're going to be successful, this is what we're going to look like. Well, that's not really how our brain works. It's actually being like, okay, well, if we can't reach that, which you're right, that will look successful, I'll just stay where I am. We put these blind spots, we put these blocks, we put these rumble strips, we put this these ideas, these beliefs in place that keep us really where we are. And they come from different areas that, you know, they come from things that we caught, some ideas that we caught when we were younger. They come from societal pressures because, you know, women, moms, like, we're supposed to show up in a certain way. We want to be seen in a way. Like, I want to be seen as professional. I want to be seen as kind. I want to be seen as caring and compassionate. And I want to be seen as, like, I do know what I'm doing. What do you want to be seen as? Because these help you identify. These ideas help you see where this idea of perfection, what is perfection for you? Like, what does that mean? Because that's another word that we should define. Fear of judgment. Even some of my podcasts that I want to do, there's some of the things that I want to say, I know is going to be judged, and it's going to be hard to handle that because I don't like upsetting people, but I've realized that I'm doing you a disservice if I don't share the truth. If I don't share that, hey, you know what? There's actually ideas out and you're not alone in the ideas, because many of you I know have the same ideas as me, same like desires, the same goals for our kids that we want them to grow up and to be contributing members to society and not draining members to society. We want them to be happy and joyful and successful. We want them to step into their best selves, right? Well, there's ways to do that. That's science-based, which biblical-based, which, hello, if it's biblical-based, it's also science-based, truthfully, because the science is going to back up what God says. I think it's fascinating now that so much of neuroscience is catching up with what the Bible says, and it's like a new revelation. And I'm like, well, duh, we've been reading this word. We've been reading this for years and years and years and centuries. And now we understand the science behind it, like why and how God created us. We don't have to shy away from how God created us. We don't need to shy away from how he wired us and how he wants us to operate. We're all different. It's insane. Like, so DNA, right? They're saying all people, all of us are 99%, have the same 99% DNA. It's that 1% that's different. And even identical twins don't have that same 1%, which fascinates me with how many billions of people are on this earth. We're all 99% of our DNA is the same. But what makes us different is that 1%. Our imperfection, and I use that word loosely because is it really imperfect if we're that unique? Is it really an accident if that 1% is what makes us different? What if your imperfection is really your beauty, your grace, the essence of you? And when you try to be something that you think that others need or want, you're denying how God created you. This is one reason why I get so excited and I get so passionate about doing the work I do, that we need to discover ourselves. Even Maslow's hierarchy of needs, like that self-actualization to understand what our purpose is, we have to go through steps. We have to go through a process. We cannot discover what our purpose is if we don't have the other levels figured out. We can't find out our purpose if we don't know our strengths and our gifts and our talents, if we don't know our core motivations and our core avoidances and our core tendencies and our motivations and our if we don't know what our the way we think about things, if we don't understand how God created us, how do we know what that 1% is? How do we know how to stand in our God-given beauty, our God-given power, if we don't know how God wired us? And so that fear of judgment, no one is like you. No one. And so this idea that we're judged, it's like, well, if we know the reason why we do things, we know why we stand on this hill and we are willing to give up over here, and we understand why our perspective and our ideas are different. If we understand how God wired us, we're able to see, okay, the judgment, it's really just a protective mechanism that our brain puts in us versus something that is actually useful. And so then there's that inner critic, which if you're an Enneagram 1, you've got like double dose of that. We all got a version of it. I have a friend who her inner critic is so loving to her, and I was like in awe. It says, you know, it's okay. It gives her a lot of grace. And my inner critic is like, no, like you did that wrong. You're always wrong. And I have to remind myself that that's not actually truth. But that inner critic makes me strive for something that, you know, the idea of perfection or improving. And it's like, well, Tammy, is that even necessary? Is that possible? Is it something that I even want? And I realized that that defense mechanism, that protective trigger in our minds are what bring that up. And so when you know that those are the main reasons for like perfectionistic tendencies, there we go, then we're able to choose a different way. God has given us the power of decisions, free will, and embracing the imperfections of life is part of that free will. We get to decide what our life is going to look like. We get to decide how we're going to show up. We get to decide what parts of us we show to other people, and what parts of us we get to save for ourselves and just for our relationship with Jesus. We get to decide how we treat our kids, how we treat our spouses, how we treat our partners, how we treat our friends. We get to decide how we treat ourselves. And when we choose to embrace the imperfections of life, when we get to choose not just the imperfections of the holidays, because let's face it, not a single holiday works out exactly how you plan in your mind. I still don't even have, like, the only Christmas thing up I have is my tree. And it's only got about half of our ornaments on it. Today is Christmas. Like, when this episode airs, I'm recording it beforehand. But today is Christmas. And the amazing thing, and usually I share this at the end, but I'm going to share this right now, is that the Bible verse, 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. While we are celebrating this miraculous birth of our Savior, while we are celebrating the family and the love of Christ, we get to celebrate that the only perfection God requires of us is His Son. If we have His Son, we have it all. We have everything we need. We don't have to reach a bar. We don't have to reach a certain standard. We don't have to keep striving for greatness and perfection, because God's got that. He's got you. And so what can we do? Let's get some brass tacks here. What can we do to embrace, to start putting this practice into place? And the first is embrace the unexpected. Recognize, and we talked a little bit about this, that like, this is one reason why I set intentions instead of expectations or resolutions. Because we know things are not going to happen as planned, right? So when we embrace the unexpected, leave room for the Holy Spirit to move. Leave room for growth opportunities. Leave room for other people's desires and other people's, you know, maybe some of their meltdowns. It may be like if you have a teenager or whatever. Also, what is your priority? What is your priority in the moment? Do you want to appear a certain way, or do you want to connect in a certain way? Is it more important that the person feel loved than that you appear to have it all together. I don't know about you. I won't put words in your, or thoughts in your mouth, but I know that when I see a real mom who is doing the best she can, who's joyful, like I don't love people struggling, but I also know when they're struggling and smiling about it, or they're like, this is just life, they embrace what their life is. It's like, okay, I am normal. I can do that too. It doesn't have to, like, okay, that's right. That teenager does have free will as well. I think we should give that to him later in life. But prioritize connection. That's what people are going to remember. How you made them feel, how you connected with them versus how you looked, how it appeared that you were. And do we really want to keep those appearances up anyway? I don't. I would much rather show up as me 100% of the time, the goofy, the sassy, the ornery, the fun, the compassionate, the deep me, the me who makes inappropriate jokes at inappropriate times to lighten the mood, the me who, well, I like to laugh and have fun, but the me who is also willing to admit that I don't know how to do something and will learn, the me who forgives, like that's the me that I want to show up as. What's the you that you really want to show up as? Because I guarantee it's easier to choose that and then just own it than try to remember, okay, this is this, let me put on this cloak of confidence. Step into who you are, that 1% of you that's different, and love it. Love every moment. Learn to love it. Practice self-compassion. We don't have it all together. I don't have it all together. It's so funny. The other day, someone said, man, the way you talk about, the way you talk to your kids, you must have a really great relationship with them. And I was like, yes, and I get frustrated with them. They really get frustrated with me. My son is like, Mom, I don't want to know about the science behind it. I just want to do it my way. And I'm like, okay, you got this. We butt heads often. They're teenagers. They're pulling away. I'm the mom, and I'm supposed to guide them and love them whether they want me to love them or not. So I laugh because it's like, no, we don't have a perfect relationship. Like we have a good one. I have to be reminded of that. I have a partner who reminds me. I have friends who remind me. I have a coach who constantly reminds me that, Tammy, like, what's the good in this? Like, where is that? It's there. I have to practice self-compassion. If I can do it, so can you. Friend, self-compassion is one of the greatest gifts you can give yourself. It's also not about you. When you openly practice self-compassion, you are showing your daughter, you're showing your son, you're showing your friends, you're showing that lady on the street who you've never met, but is struggling, that it's okay to give themselves self-compassion as well. When you allow it and you allow it to permeate through your soul, then others can feel that too and recognize that we don't have to get it right. What does get it right even mean? The next is one of my favorite ones. Set realistic expectations. I mean, lower my standards when it comes to expectations. I have really high standards. I have, especially for myself, I have learned that I have to give myself those same expectations that I give other people, the grace within expectations. But we don't have to match a picture. My house will never be magazine worthy. It's lived in. It is cluttered. It is, parts of it are clean at any moment of time. And it is deep cleaned because I have someone who comes and helps me deep clean. That's not a strength or an area of my life that I really want to pour a lot of time into. And so we live in a lived in house, which means that also it's not as organized as I want. I wish that I had a place for everything. Everything had a place, that the linen closet, you walk in, it's all, you know, that could be picture worthy, but there's, you know, other people who live here. And then there's also just my busyness as well, it's a snowball. So recognizing what I want, what I need a clean kitchen. That's my expectation, is at the end of the day and throughout the day, I don't want dishes in the sink. So knowing that, expressing that to my family versus exploding because the whole house is disorganized. Well, it's not all disorganized. And that's not been my priority. But when I tell them, no, this is the one thing. Now they have an expectation and they know how, like, okay, mom's stressed. Let me get the kitchen cleaned up. And it soothes me. And then also, one way to embrace imperfection is stay in the moment. Stay right where you are doing what you're doing. Give yourself that gift of your presence and fully be where you are. As a mom, we have got multiple lists, multiple activities, multiple schedules running in our brains at all times. If you work, you have your work schedule. If you have kids, you have your kids' schedules. You have your own schedules. You have your friends' schedules. You have so many. There's so many areas. You have your health schedules. You have plans and you have goals and you have appointments for everything. Trust that they're in your calendar. We can talk about it in the new year about my friend has a beautiful way that has been working for me to help me with my calendar. And I'm hoping that she'll come and share it with us. And I think she will. So it'll be great having her. But trust that it's there. When it's in your calendar, then you can give yourself time to work on that. There's a couple of things today that I had a call this morning and I'm working on a new app that kind of streamlines some of my business stuff. And of course, in order to do that, I have to, one, play with the app, get used to it. And then I have to import things to the app. Well, we have a meeting in 2 weeks for that. I need to put it on my calendar, time to actually do that. And so that's what I did. So that way right now I can be completely present. I don't have to worry about, you know, playing with this app because I have it on my calendar a time that I'm going to. I have it on my calendar when I'm going to import my contacts and I'm going to start scheduling the posts and the events and all of that. One of my intentions for this new year is consistency, is having you guys as my listeners, as my clients, as my friends, as, you know, someone who is in this business, this journey of self-discovery, of stepping into our purpose and our calling and wanting to know how can we do it easiest? How can we do it smoothest? How can we do it based on how we're wired? Well, I gave myself time, so now I can stay present. And well, consistency. I lost my train of thought there for a moment. So yeah, let's go back to the consistency. Is I want you guys to know what to expect. I want you guys to know that, yeah, Tammy will be hanging out in her, the free Facebook group, Divine Destiny, on X day. And, or I'll put on the calendar if it's going to be bounce around, because my life is not 100%. It's not 100% consistent. Like, it's not the same time, the same. I homeschool. I have my business. I have a lot going on. Like, my schedule's not just mine. It's my kids, just like yours. We are not one, like, streamlined. This is everything. Wouldn't that be great if it was, but it wouldn't be as magical. Wouldn't be as, exciting. Wouldn't be as, challenging. But consistency is one of my intentions for this new year. So in order to do that, like, I need to plan ahead. So I've planned this first quarter. I've planned out when my events are going to be. I planned out. And so now when I show up in the morning, when I look at my calendar, when I look at my my planner, my Clever Fox planner, I know what to expect. So I can be in the moment, and it doesn't, not a single day happens as I plan. But the things that are the most important, because I stay present, happen. And if they don't happen, then I get to get creative and see what I can do to make it happen, what I can do to make it work. And I truly do love the challenge of all of that. So what can you let go of in order to embrace imperfection? Let go of the need to look a certain way. I'm not talking about you have fashion sense. There are days that I'm like, okay, like I want to, you know, put on that cloak of confidence. But don't get in this rut. Don't go get in this cycle of feeling that it needs to look perfect in order to be perfect, in order to be the way it should be. Let go of perfect for perfect's sake. Now, I am all for, like, there's something about putting on a really nice outfit, whatever, even a nice pair of sweats, all right? Like, I'm not talking about Gucci here. I'm talking about you feel confident in what you're wearing and the energy that you put off. Like, let's be real. There's certain outfits we put on that give us more of a stronger energy or just gives us that more confidence. Also, set down that everyone's happiness depends on you. When I embrace this moment that my teenager's happiness is not my responsibility, your child's happiness, your spouse's happiness, your friend's happiness, even your boss's happiness is not 100% dependent on you. Now, for work, your actions, your bosses, you know, they have dependency on you, of course, but their happiness is a different thing. You don't have to make them happy. Happiness is fickle. Happiness is situational. If our goal is to make everyone happy, we're going to fail almost 100% of the time, unless we are miserable. Honestly, I don't even think it's my job to make myself happy all the time. I get to choose joy in the moment. I get to choose happy. I get to decide how I'm going to show up, whether it's something that's really hard. It's like, okay, I'm going to like this when it's done. Or like, what can I learn through it? But I get to choose how I show up, but it's not my responsibility to make sure everyone else is happy. It does not depend on you. It depends on them. You can give them exactly what they want and then still not be happy. Because if they haven't identified what it actually is that makes them happy, you can keep spinning your wheels and it's not going to work. So release that pressure. And last is just forget that everything has to go according to plan. Leave some room for grace. Leave some room for laughs. Leave some room for growth and opportunities. And not every plan that gets, you know, switched is for good or for bad. Just because it doesn't go the way you expected or the way you planned doesn't mean it's not a great thing. I have the plans that I make are shells. I allow flexibility with them. I allow them to be fluid. Because when they are, it's a lot easier to see opportunities when they don't go the right direction or see ways to save an awkward situation. But we don't have to. Not everything has to go by plan. And I know that as someone who loves to plan and plans to plan and plans to plan to plan, it's a challenge. It was a challenge, but it also is so freeing. So, friend, I want 2024 to be an amazing year for you. And I have a lot that's coming up. A lot of things that I want to share with you, things that I know that is the difference between stepping into your purpose and your calling and staying where you are, staying like unfulfilled, not having the impact that you know that's your calling, that's yours to make. And I want you guys to go on this ride with me. I want you to come alongside. I want to serve you in a way that you need, with topics that are on your heart. So this is where my call to action, my need, my ask is to get into the Divine Destiny Facebook group. Start talking in there. I'm going to ask you some questions. I want to know what and how I can serve you best. I have, you know, the podcasts that are scheduled. I have some workshops coming up. I'm starting a workshop every 2 weeks for the first quarter. I'm going to try it out. Do something like, again, that consistency. Try it out and see how it serves you. And see what you can do. See what speaks to you. So I want you, if this is exciting to you, if you feel this excitement of 2024 and it becoming your year of transformation, your year of figuring out why you do things and how to either change them or step into them even more. If you want 2024 to be your year of fulfillment and impact, well, get on my calendar. Let's talk about what next steps are for you, what fulfillment means for you, and what's possible for you. I am so excited about 2024. I hope you're having an incredible, incredible holiday season. I know we've got 1 week left of 2023. And I just cheers to you and the amazing growth. Take some time and just reflect on 2023 and the amazing year and how much you've grown in this year. Well, and with that, like seriously, get on my calendar and let's chat. It's one of my favorite things to do is to sit and I learn and to help you see the opportunities in your life. And you can make impact and you can be fulfilled right where you are. You don't have to change careers. You don't have to start something new. You don't have to make those drastic changes. You get to step into who God's called you to be right where you are. With that, friend, choose joy until joy chooses you. I'll see you next year. Bye for now.